Do you know what brings me joy? Seeing all those shining faces and sparkling voices and just the wonder of all the hearts that come together at Christmas. Make something beautiful happen. The Advent of Joy. Scripture verse is Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 6. "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. That night, the angels announced the coming of Jesus as a great and joyful event, significant for everyone. Their joyous acclamation celebrated the fulfillment of prophecies. All of the prophecies from Abraham forward were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. It also celebrated the coming of the Savior Christ the Lord. Good news, great joy that will be for all people. So here, the third week of Advent, we light the candle known as the Shepherd Candle. This candle reflects the joy that comes through Jesus' arrival and through the salvation he offers. It turns our thoughts to him as the sacrificial lamb who came in humility, content to be surrounded by the least of God's creatures. And this became the way that Jesus performed his ministry throughout his lifetime. He went to the outcasts, to the hurting, to the ordinary people, and they came to him. He comforted, he healed, he gave encouragement and forgiveness. He is the great shepherd who will never stop seeking his lost lambs. And salvation isn't just God's gift for us to hold as a treasure. It's also the mission he gives to us to share with others. Now, God chose to deliver his message of good news, great joy, to shepherds. They were out staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, says Luke 2, verse 8. Now, to be a shepherd in that culture was to be at the bottom of the social ladder, outcasts. Shepherds were despised, so much so that the testimony of a shepherd wasn't even allowed in the court of law. Shepherds basically did the work that no one else wanted to do. They had dirt under their fingernails. They were hardworking, and they spent days on end out in the wilds with the animals. And so they probably felt right at home when they learned that this baby was born right there among the animals. And this was something they could relate to. God was speaking their language. The shepherds were first to receive the angel's joyful news. And that must have been an incredible moment. When they were chosen, those lowly shepherds were chosen to witness the greatest announcement in history. Now, their response to this revelation, to rush to see that newborn king, mirrors what our response should be, that deep, infectious excitement that should fill our hearts as we discover who Jesus is for each of us. What the angels proclaimed for those who desired it was a deep inner delight rooted in faithful acknowledgement of the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. The joy of heaven was quietly offered to mankind in the dark of night as a newborn child. The joy of heaven was announced by angels in the middle of a dark, silent night to shepherds in the field. The joy of heaven came during a time of long silence from the heavens, the darkest of times, as Isaiah foretold a Savior who would bring light to dimmed eyes, hope to waiting souls, and joy to downcast hearts. God's people held forth hope because a Savior had been prophesied and promised for centuries. God had never failed in his promises. Never was there a prophecy that had not been fulfilled. And so they waited. Their hope wasn't all based on the knowledge of what God had already done. It was an outpouring of their faith in what God would do through his Son, Christ the Lord. They heard Isaiah say, "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Now, throughout the Old Testament, God used the prophets to call his people to joyful rejoicing in that same manner. He did this so they would recognize the correlation, the cause and effect between peace with God and joy within their hearts. Now, like those ancient believers, when we take stock of all that God has done for us, all that God has given us, all the blessings, and when we are grateful, then we, in turn, offer him our very best, and joy will fill our soul. Not the earthly, temporal joy that psychologists tell us is great happiness that comes from sensory pleasures, material wealth, romantic relationships, and children. No, not that kind of joy, because according to the wisdom of Solomon, that kind of joy is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind, and it does not last. Why doesn't it last? Because those very things that psychiatrists tell us bring us joy are the things that most commonly bring us strife. Relationship conflicts, financial issues, miscommunication, and unmet expectations. So rather than earthly joy, followers of Christ have been promised spiritual comfort and joy. Isaiah declares, "Sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering." Isaiah 49, verse 13. So our joy is anchored in the knowledge that God fulfilled his promise. The promise of compassion to the people, the promise of joy in his presence, and eternal hope in his Son. Joy that comes in the form of spiritual fruit, cultivated through faith, even during difficult times. Joy that brings a state of supernatural contentment. And as 1 Peter 1:8 says, joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The joy of heaven is a lasting attitude of the heart and spirit that can build and grow even amid sorrow and suffering, because it's connected to our Christian values, our spiritual presence, and authentic life. Joy is both a feeling and an attitude. Most of all, it's a choice. Even though it's an emotion that can arise spontaneously, it's also a state of mind or a decision that can be curated and cultivated, even in difficult circumstances. Dutch priest Henri Nouwen said, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." I think you see where he was going with that. Joy is a deliberate choice. It isn't passive. It's an active decision, an act of the will to be optimistic even when things are hard. And that's what makes joy even deeper than happiness. It's a richer, more stable inner state that focuses on heavenly promises, not on circumstances. It stems from spending time with God and focusing on His blessings. It's produced by the ongoing positive presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It flows from a heart that is Christ-centered and gives us a peace an enduring peace in our spirit that comes from living for and in Christ. Pope Francis noted, "What is this joy? Is it to be happy?" No, it is not the same. To be happy is good, yet joy is something more. It does not depend on external motivations or on passing issues. It is more profound. It is a gift from the Lord. Did someone say gift? Like the gift of Christ the Savior who came to free us from the bonds of sin and redeem us to a life of enduring hope, peace, and joy? That's a true gift. According to Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength, which means that our joy, our contentment, and our gladness flows out of the wellspring of God's faithfulness and mercy. God's joy brings us that profound satisfaction that comes from His own perfect nature, His glory, and His love. So with Advent more than half over, our joyful anticipation is starting to reach a crescendo. We've been focused on hearts of hope and peace on earth, cheerfully singing joy to the world as we replay the angel's words to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born." The great good news is that the joy we have in Christ is not just for a season. It is a lasting and everlasting joy in response to what God has already done and continues to do. In His ministry, Christ taught about God's love and urged His followers to abide in it, saying, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." John 15:11. As Christians, we are to be filled with joy, always living in the light of His love. Yet the irony is that for many, the joy of Advent and Christmas is a little bit hard to come by. People are lonely, struggling, sad, and hopeless. It brings to mind that our spiritual enemy doesn't take the holidays off. There's always going to be heartache and hardship. Scripture tells us that in this world you will have trouble. But even in times of difficulty or doubt, we can be encouraged by James 1, verses 2 and 3. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Yep, Christmas can be a time of jubilant joy for some, but for others, it can be a time of sorrow and sadness for a variety of reasons. Health, grief, financial or family concerns, fear for loved ones in the military or missions, and always heartfelt prayer for unsaved loved ones. Every circumstance is different, and we can't fully appreciate every situation, but at least can we find a kernel of contentment, a glimmer of gladness, a shimmer of sunshine? Experts say that by choosing to be optimistic and focusing on the good things in your life, you can actually train your brain to feel joy more often. So perhaps when we concentrate on acceptance and gratitude, we can bring more joy to mind more often. It comes when we can appreciate small everyday things and find fulfillment in offering compassion to others. Listen to this simple journey to joy reflected in the thoughts of philosopher Rabindranath Tagore. Joy is everywhere. It is in the earth's green covering of grass, in the blue serenity of the sky, in the reckless exuberance of spring, in the severe abstinence of gray winter, in the living flesh that animates our bodily frame, in the exercise of all our powers, in the acquisition of knowledge. Joy is there everywhere. Perhaps we would do well to let joy find us, if joy is everywhere. Perhaps we need to just recognize subtle shifts in our circumstances, lessening of our load, that slow, secret inner smile of satisfaction that transcends material things because it's derived from a higher power. And we are all worthy and deserving of a joyful life. It's promised to us. And with God, we're capable of creating it through positive perception and a little bit of faith. The very reason we exist is to have hope, faith, and joy in the knowledge that there's a bigger, better, brighter future awaiting us. And that is made possible by our Father's plan and enabling power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it could be argued that all the prophecies were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. It could be argued that the whole spiritual life is founded on Jesus' invitation to enter into the joy of your Lord. As Christmas approaches, we may well experience feelings of melancholy or sadness for many legitimate reasons. But let's also have the courage to rejoice in the Lord, because He is the God of joy, the source of our joy, which we are encouraged to share with others, much like the shepherds did. Luke 2, verses 17, 18. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Today, we can be grounded in gratitude for that first advent of Jesus Christ. And we can be anchored in heavenly hope for his second advent, when our joy will be complete. Just like the joy of the Bethlehem shepherds, our spiritual bliss is what God uses to spread his joy throughout the world, reaching the lost sheep, saving the lost souls. One of the most beautiful verses I've ever read describing the realization and repentance of sin comes from Job 33:26. Then man prays to God and he accepts him. He sees his face with a shout of joy, and God restores to man his righteousness. because of the Messiah in a manger, because of Christ on the cross, and because of a resurrected Savior who's poised to return as ruler over all creation, we can share the same glad tidings that the angels brought to the shepherds more than 2,000 years ago. Good news of great joy for all people. So whatever this year has been like, we celebrate that Jesus' birth means joy to the world, for indeed the Lord is come. And in his coming, we find the source of true and lasting joy, a joy that transcends circumstances, that overcomes sorrow, joy that points us toward ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. In this season and beyond, may we be bearers of this joy and witnesses to the wonders of his love. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize today the good news and great joy that come to earth with your Son, Jesus, the source of our hope. The shepherds came to witness his birth, heralding with joy the one who was both lamb and shepherd, servant and king. As we seek to bring others into the fold, let us share this truth. Your shepherd knows your name. He is seeking you and he is leading you home. His joy over each saved lamb is written in Luke 15:6. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. May we be filled with heavenly joy, lasting joy, throughout this Advent season. In Jesus' holy name, amen.